Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, the 8 at 8. Ooh, right at 8, too. Today's going to be a good day, right at 8 o'clock.
I shut the hell up at the right time so you could get the break on time.
I didn't even need to viciously stack my papers up to give you the sign.
By the way, I think that the person who thought that Marcus Harris and Sheldon Rankins were the same size, I can see where maybe he was led astray, which is that the Auburn media guide says that Marcus Harris is 295 pounds, which is a little closer to Sheldon Rankins. He was 285 at the combine. And he looks like he does not look like he's 295 on the field. From when I was watching him before, I'd actually looked at his body weight. I didn't think he was 295. So I think that's I think that was a little bit of the beneficial press guide treatment.
I always wonder if maybe you, as a former player, especially at that position, are much more acutely able to see a guy play and know exactly what he weighs than people like. The regular,
oh, that'd be
the
a
regular
good one, yeah. Like I guess that's my little carnival booth.
Well, not doing the pregame anymore.
I got a bunch of big plush animals. And if you're a defensive tackle, right, and only a defensive tackle, come up and let me watch you take on double teams and bull rush, and I'll guess your weight.
Why is Seth not doing the pregame anymore? He set up some kiosk inside the stadium where he's guessing the weights of all the defensive linemen on both teams.
What would I have to do to? I'd have to have like some Gucci bags and stuff behind me.
Yeah, you need some good prizes. They ain't settling for a stuffed dinosaur, I'll tell you that right now.
No, no.
All right, let's get to the 8 at 8.
Number one,
the Astros. They are in action tonight at Minute Maid Park, and they are taking on the Cleveland Guardians, who are good at baseball this year. They are 19-9. Big story for the Astros is they are calling up Joey Loperfido, outfielder/ first baseman. We'll dig into him a little bit more in just a bit, but.
Can I call today Loper Fide?
You just did.
Yeah.
We're waiting to see what the corresponding move is. It could be Greg Kessinger going down to Sugarland.
Yeah.
I think most Astro fans are on their knees praying it involves Jose Abreu in some way. I doubt that'll be the case.
Are they going to trade Jose Abreu for three future firsts or something?
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know.
That's a, first
you're not even allowed to do in baseball, but still.
Yeah.
I pulled a Colin Cowherd right there.
Do you I remember that. Do you think we see Loperfido tonight? You think he gets his feet wet right away, or do you think we got to wait a while to see him?
I say you got to throw him right into the mix.
Throw him into the
no
fire.
Time to sit around getting nervous, you know? You just get him right out there.
I do kind of.
Now, for whatever it's worth, Cavage, they had that extra. Cavage was allowed to come up, and at least according to McTaggart, so they've got to make two moves officially.
Yeah.
And I would assume that Cavage is one that goes down, but maybe they do Singleton and somebody else.
I would assume Cabbage goes down because my guess is that doesn't count as an option. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like bringing a guy up because he was.
Oh, yeah, because of the exemption. Yeah.
He was an extra guy from Mexico, so I'm guessing for the Mexico trip. So I'm guessing Cabbage is for sure going back down. So we'll see.
I've got to bring some extra cabbage to Mexico in case you get pulled over.
Did you hear that it's Loper Fee Day?
I'm on fire.
All right.
Two.
Okay, number two. Tank Dell. the video surfaced of the shooting involving Tank Dell. Pretty disturbing footage if you haven't seen it. If you want to see it, it's out there on social media. The sheriff. It's a tough watch.
It's less disturbing now that you know that he's okay, but it's still it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary for everybody. Man, It's scary. Go ahead and explain what happened.
He's right in between the two shooters. And it turns out there were two shooters, not one. I don't know how many people even know that yet. But there were two shooters shooting at each other. Tank was in between. The tank tried to break up the fight.
Tank was trying to break up the fight. And then, yeah, two guys. The initial reports were that it was one 16-year-old that had shot 10 people.
Right.
It was two people, one shooting up. And initially, when I heard that a 16-year-old shot 10 people and nobody had serious injuries, I thought this might be a 22 or something. Like, how's that happen? It was two guys shooting at each other, one with a 44 and one with a 9mm. Like, and so it honestly, and Tank's one of the people that got shot. It could have been, it's still awful, but my goodness, this could have been way worse.
Could have been really bad. Here was Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco, on his podcast with Shannon Sharp, and he said he's reached out to Tank.
Altercation, but was simply caught in the crossfire. Remember,
I shot
him. Ain't got no name on it.
Yeah, he showed. No, I shot him a text message. I shot him a text message too, man. Tell him, you're my prayers, man. You're my prayers. And after that, he responded back and said, everything is good. I'm good. I appreciate you. And I just told him, you got to move a little different, baby. You got to move a little different. I understand it's the off season. You want to enjoy yourself. You want to go out and have fun with your friends and your homeboys, but you got to move differently. You just have to. You have to. And the people that you surround yourself with should understand that you have to move differently. You shouldn't be at places anyway, for one, where they can carry.
Okay.
That's that's the surprising part about it is, like you said, I guess maybe the one difference there as far as what Chad Johnson is saying is, and maybe to clarify the image people had in their minds, this is not like a nightclub in Orlando at 3 a.m. or something. This is at a place called Cabana Live, which I went to the website and their Instagram page. It's a private party event place.
There's a swimming pool right next to all the shooting going on.
Yeah, so they hire it out for private events, so it's some kind of a party. Now, that can mean many different things. The charge for admission, all that. But yeah, it wasn't. But at the same time, what Chad is saying there, I think, is 100% true.
Sure.
Not to be blaming the victim or anything, but you have to be extra careful and vigilant about A, who you surround yourself with, but also B, just how you move within a crowd like that. And frankly, you cannot be the peacemaker, the peacekeeper. Peacemaker is probably the wrong word to use. Peacekeeper. Like, you gotta, when there's trouble, you got to get the hell out of there, man. That's just the way it is now. And Tank didn't go to a big-time college or anything where he was actually like a celebrity. So this is kind of his first experience with this, and it doesn't look like he was at the center of it at all. He's a victim. But you just got to, like, that's the policy. You get that. There's any trouble, you get the hell out.
Yep.
There's no jawing back and forth. There's no trying to break up fights. It's like, you get the hell out of there, man. And even that, like, I hate the tone that I just used there. I really don't mean it, like, as like a way to blame Tank Dell.
Yeah, you're not admonishing.
It's almost like I'm his big brother. Like, I just, man, there's a lot of things you got to do that you might think don't make sense, but that's just the way you got to operate.
It's a world you live in now.
Yeah.
NBA playoffs, get you up to speed on this. Probably the biggest story last night: LeBron James is done out of the playoffs. The Lakers are done. Kevin Durant swept out of the playoffs. Over the weekend. So I'd have to go back and look, but Kevin Durant and LeBron James being knocked out in the first round of the playoffs at the same time. Maybe it happened a couple of years ago. I don't know. But it feels like this is a first. The Nuggets beat the Lakers last night by 2, 108-106. Thunder sweep the Pelicans. They move on to the next round, and the Celtics beat the Heat. They lead the Heat 3-1 right now.
And now also reports that the Lakers are not opposed to or are considering giving LeBron a 3-year contract and drafting Bronny.
I heard about that this morning. Yeah.
The drafting Bronny part is probably the one that I figure, the Lakers have a tradition of giving, golden watches to people. Now, I mean, Kobe's a different case than I didn't understand the giving Kobe that gold watch contract at the end of his career until you learn more about it and you're like, you know what?
He's revered.
I wish more organizations were like that. LeBron's still playing at a very high level,
yeah.
But it makes sense that they would give him that contract. But the drafting Bronny part is
I can't imagine LeBron would want that.
Except that he does.
like his son taking up a spot where he's clearly not qualified to play. He averaged 4 points a game at USC last year.
I know. I don't know, man. I used to feel that way about Doc Rivers and Austin Rivers, but then at least, you know, Austin Rivers was a viable player.
He could play, yeah.
And but even Doc Rivers, I still, like, as a father, I don't want my son on my team, like, for his sake, so that he doesn't have to have that fight that perception.
Yeah.
Not just amongst people outside the building, but people inside the building.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily the best thing for him.
Nope.
Four.
We have an odds-on favorite to be the number one overall pick in next year's draft. And his name is Shedeur Sanders, son of Deion Sanders, is the odds-on favorite to be the number one overall pick. This is going to get interesting. Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders' teammate, who also plays for Deion Sanders, among the leaders to be drafted first overall. Travis Hunter might be the best player in college football next year. Two-way player, plays receiver, plays corner for Colorado. Really good player. He may not go first because he's not a quarterback, but he's on the board to go first. We do know that Deion is going to agitate, at least he's threatening to agitate for, if it's a team that is getting ready to pick Shedeur or Travis Hunter that he doesn't want them to go to, he's going to do everything he can. He's going to move heaven and earth to make sure it's only a select few teams that draft those two guys.
I wonder, now this is what happened this year that I thought was interesting with Marvin Harrison Jr. There was a minor stir over Marvin Harrison not working out or not participating in certain parts of the process.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like it would have been a bigger stir if Marvin Harrison Sr. wasn't the dad. I almost felt there was almost kind of he knows the deal and he knows what's good for his son. He actually has, you know, inside knowledge and familiarity with all of this. So I wonder if Shedeur would get the same treatment, if kind of like people almost give him a pass because it's his father. I feel like if Eli had tried to do what he did and his father wasn't Archie Manning, I think it would have been even, I mean, he got a lot of criticism for it, but I think it would have been even more magnified. I think there's something about when it's an actual ex-NFL player and a really good ex-NFL player guiding his son that they don't second guess it as much.
It's a great point. The Harrison thing is a little different than Eli and Shedeur because he just went to the team that drafted him. He didn't threaten to, you know, he didn't say I'm not going to Arizona or whatever, you know, like he didn't do that. I'll say this, like Deion, Eli was able to kind of finesse it with Archie Manning, you know, like Archie.
He's able to blame Archie.
I sense Deion is going to be very out front about this. You know what I mean? Like Deion's going to do it the Deion way, and that may rub some people the wrong way. What's so funny?
During the draft, I didn't see when Marvin Harrison Jr. was drafted. I didn't see Marvin Harrison Sr. in
the
picture.
Either. Yeah.
So I don't know if he was there or just ducked. I don't know what was going on. So I just ran a quick search on that very early this morning, and I saw a headline that said, police confiscate Marvin Harrison's gun. So I was like, holy crap, that would explain it, because I was on Pro Football Talk, and I was scrolling down. And so I clicked on the article, and it was from 2010.
Oh, the car wash.
So it was that incident back at, the car wash in 2010. But I read the article, though, because I wanted to jog my memory. I got to credit Greg Rosenthal, who now writes for NFL.com and definitely wouldn't have written this paragraph now writing for the NFL.com, but back then worked for Pro Football Talk. I like Greg a lot. Is further proof that former Colts receiver Marvin Harrison could end up sliding a mustard Hall of Fame jacket over an orange jumpsuit.
That's a good line.
Yeah, that's a really good line. and then they go on to report the police confiscated a 9mm handgun from Harrison during a routine traffic stop on Wednesday in Philadelphia.
Okay,
also, that was different than the other incident. Yeah, Marvin Harrison had a couple incidents.
Yeah. Well, hopefully
you don't mess with Marvin Harrison Sr., man. That's the other thing. I think people are scared of Marvin Harrison Sr.
He's Philly, man. He's Philly tough.
Yeah. He's tough. Yeah.
Five.
No joke.
Gerard Mayo, head coach of the New England Patriots, he said yesterday that Tom Brady is welcome to come back to the Patriots. Of course, Tom Brady saying that, hey, man, maybe I'll come back and play for the Raiders, the Patriots. He named some teams. Gerard Mayo said, you're welcome to come back to the Patriots as a coach. He said, we're good at quarterback right now. You know, if you come back, you got to compete with all the quarterbacks they've got in the building there.
Did he say the Raiders or the Patriots? Or did he just say the Raiders in that interview?
No. He said, well, the interviewer said 49ers.
Right.
And then Brady said Raiders and Patriots.
Raiders and Patriots.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew he had said Raiders because he talked about whether the league would let him or not.
Yeah.
Because the league, okay. Yeah. Yep. So, but definitely not to the Gerard Mayo kind of giving the.
He closed the door on it. Yeah. He said, Brady's welcome to return, but as a coach. I love Tom. Yeah. The door's always open if he wants to come in here and coach. But as far as going on the field, I don't know. That's what he said
Drake's
on WEEI.
Yeah.
So there you go.
He said, I don't know, Sean. Is that closing the door?
Maybe not. But I don't know, man. They drafted Drake May. They're out of the Tom Brady business, I would think. They drafted Drake May.
Six.
The NFL passed a rule over the weekend. We didn't get to this yesterday. Players are now allowed to wear those Guardian caps in games. You know, those big kazoo helmet things, you know? Kazoo's an old Flintstones character. Yeah, they're allowed to wear them. They're allowed to wear them in games. All right, Seth, I'm going to put the over-under. Players that choose to wear the Guardian caps in games, I'm going to put at 4.5%.
4.5% is still a healthy amount.
Yeah.
That would end up being, what, like 40, 60? That would be 60 players in the league.
Yeah.
Plus 60 players in the league.
Yeah.
Boy, in games?
In games, yeah.
I would feel like this is going to be one of those things where just like the way the underhand granny-style free throw shooting has been proven to be very effective, it might be actually way better than the normal way of doing it. Nobody does it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though one of the best free throw shooters of...
Rick Barry.
Rick Barry had done it. Nobody does it because they don't want to be laughed at.
Right.
I think that all these big, strong men in the NFL don't want to be laughed at. I don't think any of them wear it.
As soon as I put 4.5% up, I'm like, yeah, I'd fire on the under on my own bet that I put up there. I would go
there'll
under.
Be, no, there'll be at least a few that are like genuinely independent thinkers, you know, not afraid of whatever. It's like, I feel like Martellus Bennett wouldn't have been afraid to wear the Guardian cap.
Could you see the league passing a rule where if like a player coming back from concussion protocol has to wear one for like a week or two? Could you see?
That's actually okay. You know what? All right.
My question to you: the 4.5% was by choice, not by mandate.
Yeah, right. No, I know. But even then, I'm starting to think. So on by choice, I think there will be more. I think if a guy's in a concussion, I'm putting myself in that situation. I think pre-concussion, I'm like, damn.
Right.
I'm not. I don't need that.
Right.
And then after concussion, after I sat alone in a dark room for a for a week, and then had like vomited as I tried to work out. And
okay, maybe I need a
after
Guardian.
Like, all right, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'll be okay with a Guardian.
Yeah.
Cap. All right. I think you're. You know what? I think you might have set the line perfectly.
Appropriately.
Right. Okay. And I do like your idea. My first thought is, well, they just look so stupid. But I'll tell you, after watching an entire training camp with them and everything, like it starts to look like no big deal. And if you step back and really think about it, football uniforms in general are pretty goofy looking if you didn't know anything about it. So, yeah, I think it'll probably take root.
Now, will the Guardian caps have logos on them? That's the question. You know, you still get that signage on there. Because right now they're just, like the Texans are just dark blue, you know?
Candy painted Guardian cap?
Yeah, man.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Seven.
Tyson versus Paul. Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. July 20th at Jerry World is now a sanctioned fight in the state of Texas. So it is approved. It counts on their records for whatever that matters. But the big thing coming out of this, Mike Tyson is abstaining from weed and sex between now and the fight in July.
I guess the other thing, too, is he's abstaining from wearing a headgear in this. They won't be wearing headgear, which was a question.
Yep.
And they're only 2 minute, what is it? It's like eight two-minute rounds.
Eight two-minute rounds.
So it's not going to be like a, you know, it's not going to be Rocky in there.
Right.
What's the handicapping on this? I got to imagine
that's
Tyson's pretty heavily favored.
I'll look it up during the break. We're up against it. I'll look it up during the break.
Okay. I know Jake Paul is better than you expect, but still like hasn't been. He's Mike Tyson. Man.
Tyson's
I don't
old.
Care how,
well, he's in shape he's too your, now.
It's not like 40-year-old George Foreman.
No.
Like Foreman was still like he was a big dude.
Yeah.
And when you're 40, I can tell you from personal experience. When you're 40 and a big guy, things are different.
Yep.
But Tyson's still very, very fit.
Yeah, fit, and the workout videos look good. You know, I don't know if they're recent or not, but they look really good.
Eight.
Britney Spears is almost broke. That's the last one in the 8-8. She's almost broke.
She's
out of that conservatorship now with her family, and she's apparently spending like millions on vacations every week. And that makes me sad because I love Britney Spears.
Well, I think the biggest thing about that was really sad about it was that I thought it was pretty clear by the time she got emancipated from her guardianship was that she probably needs a guardianship. It just needs to be a legitimate guardianship. It can't be your father, who doesn't seem like the best dude
in the world.
Kind of
a bad
either.
Person, yeah.
Yeah, like some people need a guardianship, but it's got to be a guardianship is not supposed to be a close family member who's also taking a hefty salary himself from it.
Yep. All right, that was the 8-8, the Oat Show. The Astros, they're back in action tonight at Minute Maid Park. What did we learn on the road trip from the Astros? What do we know, and what's the chances right now? Man, when was the last time the percentage chance of the Astros just to make the postseason was here? We will tell you what it is coming up next.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so you asked me, Seth, during the 8-8 what the odds are on Tyson versus Paul. Mike Tyson, 57 years old, will return to the ring to face Jake Paul, 27 years old.
Yeah.
On July the 20th in Arlington, Texas, the main event of a card that's going to air on Netflix. It's been so the fight is licensed now. Come on, give me my odds here, people. Bookmakers.
As you look for the odds.
I've got
them. Okay.
I've got them real quick here.
I was going to say, go ahead.
The Jake Paul remains the favorite to win, despite the rules that they've now announced that seem to favor Tyson, I guess, since it's more traditional boxing, no headgear.
Right. Well, yeah. And the endurance won't be as much of a factor because it's 8 2-minute rounds.
Yep. So Paul.
And if Tyson seems to be taking it very seriously, this isn't going to be like great white hype, you know?
Right. Paul is listed.
Tyson's not going to beat him with a gap in his tooth.
Paul is listed as the favorite at 8. Okay. 8-13, which is like -160, okay. Something like that.
I was, because what I thought was, and again, I defer to the boxing experts on this, but I know that, like, Jake Paul, like, people have almost, like, grudgingly given him credit for being a lot better than they thought he was going to be when they thought it was just some social media stunt. But, and, like, he's very serious about it. But, like, he lost to Tommy Fury, and I the biggest question, like, obviously Tyson in his prime would knock him out in 7
destroy
seconds.
Destroy him, too.
Like, other actual professional boxers. But the biggest question is the age. From a gambling standpoint, the first thing I thought was, like, when the public gets in huge on something like this.
Yeah.
Like, the public, as I recall, overwhelmingly was betting for Conor McGregor
yeah.
When he fought Mayweather in a boxing match.
Right.
It wasn't, and the smart money was on Mayweather, and they cleaned up.
Yeah.
So I think that, likewise, I would bet the smart money's on Tyson here, but it's hard because the age dynamic is huge.
He last fought an exhibition in 2020 with Roy Jones, and his last professional fight, like sanctioned fight, was in 2005 before that. Yeah. So he just hasn't fought a lot, and he's 57 years old. I think that's what's driving it, probably. You got to hope that Mike Tyson has, you got to hope he has dad strength, you know? You
got
to hope
he's got dad strength, and he's got, for what, I mean, just the savvy there and the things that Jake Paul just has not seen or done or understood. I don't know, man.
You going to watch it?
Yeah, for sure.
Watch
it. I will.
Yeah.
I think
so too.
I wonder. Now, the only other thing I worry about is sometimes, you know, Tyson's Tyson's really turned over a leaf in his life in terms of peace, love, and positivity.
Yeah.
So whatever, like, viciousness he once had in him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if maybe that, maybe him, he probably genuinely, you know, really doesn't want to hurt Jake Paul, even though it's a sanctioned bout and it's not an exhibition and all that. Like, I think, if anything, he might take it easy on him to the point where all of a sudden he ends up losing a decision or something.
He's got to get back
to
that.
I feel like if he went in and wanted to knock Jake Paul out, he would destroy Jake Paul.
Yeah.
But I don't think he wants to go in and knock out Jake Paul.
The best part about this whole Tyson Paul story yesterday, yeah, of the fight now being a sanctioned fight in Texas and Tyson abstaining from weed and sex and everything else, is that now, you know what happens on social media, old videos of Mike Tyson fights pop up on social media, none of them last longer than 60 seconds. They're very quick watches. There was
kids,
one of Tyson.
You don't understand.
He was a killer, kids. Gosh. There's a reason he had his own video game. Okay,
it was so crazy.
Dude.
It was just not even a contest.
It wasn't. And you would,
until he just got to, you know, he kind of Tiger Woods did. You know, everything got a little too big for him.
Yep.
And he got caught by somebody that he shouldn't have gotten caught by at all.
Yep.
And Buster Douglas. And it was unbelievable how good he was.
It was crazy. You would plunk down whatever, 30, back then, 30, 40 bucks for a pay-per-view probably in the late 80s and early 90s. And you would hope to see a 90-second fight because you knew you were watching something legendary.
Yeah,
you know,
you would hope that the undercards were really good.
Yeah, you're right, exactly. You know? Yeah, that's where the long play enjoyment was.
You would watch boxing and then you'd see a bludgeoning.
Yeah,
you'd watch a few boxing matches and then you'd see a bludgeoning.
The Astros percentage chances of making the postseason on FanGraphs right now.
Oh no! Oh, I like FanGraphs has typically been kinder than to the FanGraphs was always like way more pro Astros than when they were on the rise than a lot of other teams.
Some of the other ones? Okay. Well, that...
Well, noted. No, you know what it was? Being better than everybody else scandal.
Gotcha.
The FanGraph saw it for what it was. Like, gotcha. Understood. Like, listen, you clowns. They're still good.
Okay. Well, does a 47.3% chance of making the postseason sound about right for this team right now? That sounds high to me right now.
Based on historical standards, it sounds high. And like we saw last year, Sean, and you do a good job of pointing this out, the Astros were running on fumes going into the postseason, and then their postseason savvy took over. Mm-hmm. Like, their playoff experience mattered, and they don't shrink in the moment and all of that. But getting to the playoffs seemed harder for them than actually excelling in the playoffs.
Yeah. 47 point. This does not look like a team that has a coin flip chance of making the playoffs right now. But they get everybody back in the starting rotation.
They get everyone back in the starting rotation. And, like, not to lean too heavily on all the analytics and everything, but they're doing a lot of things really well offensively. It's just not resulting in runs. But that the pendulum swings the other way eventually. It really comes down to pitching and how healthy they are.
Yeah.
So I would say it actually feels about right.
Yep.
It feels about right as long as they get healthy pitching for the duration.
Yeah, yeah.
Or increasingly healthy pitching for the duration.
I'm with you on that. It's interesting. They have a coin flip chance of making the postseason, and yet their odds of winning the World Series are third in the AL behind only the Yankees and the Orioles right now at 5.2%. Wow. So it's one of those things like, yeah, lots going wrong. Don't feel great about this team making the playoffs. But boy, if they do make the playoffs,
what you just said,
like if they do sneak in, then they're the team that knows all the little nooks and crannies of a 7-game series. You know what I mean?
Yeah, more than anything, just their sphincters don't tighten up as much in the playoffs the way it does for everybody else. So, I think to go to football as an example, I would say, well, Tom Brady with the Bucs is a whole thing. You know, like Tom Brady and like Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown in the playoffs was a different deal than what they were in the regular season.
Yep.
The Patriots forever, they flat out outperformed even their regular season standard in the playoffs. And then I would say the Kansas City Chiefs this year. You know, like the playoff experience really mattered for the Chiefs this year. They were a different team in the playoffs.
Yes.
They got thoroughly handled a few times at the end of the season last year. They get the playoffs, and then there you go.
They know what to do. Yeah, they're the football Astros. The Astros are the baseball Chiefs, I think. That's how it's been the last 6 or 7 years. Chandler Rome's got a piece in The Athletic about where the Astros are right now after this most recent road trip, a road trip which was bailed out by 2 games against Colorado in in Mexico City. Someone texted in, can we move Minute Maid Park to 7,000 feet above sea level? yeah, that would be beautiful.
That'd be an impressive sight.
Gigantic tower.
How big a... I don't know how what the square footage footprint of is of Dude, the average skyscraper.
The escalator ride up to the park would be something else, huh?
You'd have to do... You could build like three towers,
mm-hmm.
and then but then at the very top, you kind of cap it off
yeah.
With like a bridge, you know, a ballpark bridge over
right.
all those
What could go
towers.
Wrong? Yeah.
What could go wrong? Well, I don't want to make it... It's America's pastime at the top of three tall skyscrapers. I don't want to invite that potential.
No.
All right, I hereby withdraw my plan for the Astros 7,000 foot. Can you build that in 2 months?
I don't know. They're still working on the Astropolis, let alone a mile high stadium.
You know what's holding them up there? And I'm ready. I've got my lawyers ready to sue if they try to take the Astropolis, the name that I came up with.
Are you ready? You got your lawyers ready all lined up?
We're all lawyered up, yeah. They try to take that name. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lay in wait. This is what you do. This is what they do with copyright law sometimes. They kind of wait for somebody to go ahead and make all that money.
Yeah.
And then be like, hey, by the way,
yeah.
I wrote that song 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That song that you ripped off and just made $20 million off of, I wrote that.
Yeah. No, you don't get paid by hashing it out before the thing gets built.
Right.
You get paid after. Jim Crane... is not responding to requests, it would appear, at least from The Athletic, to discuss this horrific start that the team is having. Chandler Rome says, how Crane may react to this rancorous start is anyone's guess.
That's a good word.
That's a Chandler Rome word right there.
Yeah.
Crane twice declined comment to The Athletic last week, once in a text message to Ken Rosenthal, and again Wednesday while visiting Houston's clubhouse at Wrigley Field with his son Jared.
I'll tell you what. Okay. Yeah. Two things.
Yeah.
Greg Rosenthal, son Jared.
Ken Rosenthal.
Excuse me, Ken Rosenthal. Yeah. I like Greg Rosenthal.
Yeah.
Ken Rosenthal and his son Jared. Two valid excuses for not talking to the media. One is don't talk to Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah.
Weirdo. And two, like he's with his son. He's trying to have a good time.
Yeah.
He'll sit there and talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'd say the fact that he declined to talk to return a text to Ken Rosenthal is a feather in Jim Crane's cap.
When you say he's there with his son, like having a good time, you mean like he took his son to a game and like his son has a mitt and a ball cap on, that kind of thing? Because his son is the senior VP of executive operations.
Yes. And he feels like he doesn't get that many opportunities to go to a baseball game with his dad. Okay?
He may or may not have been licking an ice cream cone when Chandler Rome decided to try to walk up to Jim Crane.
Yes.
Can't you see I'm taking my son to a game?
Yeah. That's exactly
He's
the image I have.
Number
in my
two
mind.
In charge. Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's great.
Hey, I'm with my son here. Like that's got to be Jerry Jones' go-to from now on. I'm with Steven. Stevie doesn't get. I'm in a ball game with Stevie.
Right.
And you guys are trying to ask me contentious questions.
Yes.
I'm not going to fall for it.
Treat it like you're getting interrupted at dinner or something like that.
Yes.
I am out with my son right now. I rarely get to spend time with him. all right. Hey, look at this. Still trickling in. 4 minutes ago. Sean, I've lived here 35 years. I've always called it Goody and Company. Thank you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess so. This guy. Yeah.
So it's this is going to turn into yet another one of those things where somebody says, "Yeah, you don't know how to pronounce it. Here in Texas, we pronounce it blah, blah, blah." And my favorite by far is the people who tell you, you're pronouncing it wrong. It's New Braunfels.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, the people in New Braunfels will tell you, no, it's pronounced New Braunfels.
Yeah.
That's driven me crazy for 20 years.
I'm married to
Texas. Yeah, I can tell you're not from Texas. That's not how it's pronounced. No, I'm sorry I pronounced it the way the people from the actual place pronounce it.
Texas. Amy doesn't get jerky about it, but she pronounces it New Braunfels.
Does it drive you insane?
A little bit. I've never, you know, there's enough good on the other side of the equation with Amy that I don't make a big deal. You got to choose your fights. You got to choose your battles. You
there's
know?
A country singer who did an actual song about it. It's pretty funny.
Said it that way?
No. He talks about the way. No, it's pronounced. It's a song called "It's Pronounced New Braunfels."
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's pronounced the way it's spelled. Yeah.
I gotcha. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. All right. Best pick, worst pick, most interesting pick for the Houston Texans in this past draft. We've got that for you coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, now we got texts about Kirkendall coming in. Yeah, don't even go near Kirkendall as far as the pronunciation. Just talking about New Braunfels in the previous segment. Guys, we hate being mispronounced. Signed, Umble.
Now Umble is a big one, yeah. That was one thing. You know what, Bill O'Brien, credit to Bill O'Brien, he knew that immediately. I remember him, somebody must have clued him in on a few of those things, because I remember early on him kind of pointing out that he knew how to pronounce Umble, but it was funny.
Those two would be at the top of any list. Like, if you were giving a handbook to somebody moving to Houston, and one of the chapters in the handbook was, these are pronunciations that you would never guess if you weren't from Houston. Top two right there, I would say.
I think Texas in general has more places that are like that, definitely not your intuitive pronunciations of places.
Yeah, the South in general.
It's a nice, what's that?
The South in general.
I don't know about the South. Well, the Northeast has a lot of those too.
This one I can't guess.
The sauce.
Worcester. Oh, yeah. It looks like Worcester.
Looks like Worcestershire.
Yeah, it looks like Worcester.
It looks like Worcestershire sauce.
They pronounce it Worcester. Yeah, it's like they don't even.
Oh, they say Worcester? Not
yeah,
even
some
Worcester?
Some say Worcester. Some say Worcester. Yeah. Best pick, worst pick, most interesting pick for the Houston Texans. This popped onto my radar because Chris Trapasso of CBSSports.com has it for all 32 teams.
I've got a bone to pick with Chris Trapasso.
Yeah.
Or is it pronounced Fusimbashu?
It's actually pronounced Tasso. He's got best pick, worst pick, most interesting pick. Best pick, Kalen Bullock, gives it an A. And loves the uniquely shaped, spindly safety who has the best pure free safety range in the class. Says won't provide much as a run support player, quickly IDs routes, blah, blah, blah. He really likes Kalen Bullock as the best pick in the draft.
Kalen Bullock, and this jibes with what Nick Caserio said, which is that after the draft, they got a lot of calls from GMs talking about how much they really like Bullock, and they were a little jealous of the Texans. Like, Nick's not the kind of guy to throw that out there, you know, just to prove that he was right.
Right.
That's been the sentiment from a lot. Yesterday, I watched a lot of post-draft reaction from various draft experts and everything. That's almost a unanimous opinion. People were very intrigued by Bullock. So I do feel good about that for the upside.
Okay.
It's not a guarantee that he's going to be awesome or anything, but it looks to be a guy that a lot of people are interested in headed into that area of the draft.
Good value, makes sense. You can see him getting on the field as a rookie, all those things. Absolutely. Okay, I can't wait to see what you have a bone to pick with. I'm guessing it's this next one.
Yeah.
Worst pick, D+, running back Jawar Jordan, Louisville.
Is it because they picked him in the second round? Is that why, Sean?
They pick the tiny running back who plays bigger and doesn't have elite speed nor elusiveness. Right. Even with a tinier frame, he sheds tackles with decent regularity. Even at this late juncture in the draft, this feels early for Jawar Jordan.
Yeah, that was my point. Thanks for Now there's people that just turned off the radio that thought
I didn't know whether to correct you or not. I didn't know.
No, like, I'm making a joke about I'm making a point. He's a second. He's a seventh round pick.
Yeah,
everybody that gets drafted in the seventh round has a whole bunch of weaknesses. It's like he took us. If they had drafted Jawar Jordan in the fourth round, by all means, yes, that would have been a bad pick.
Yeah.
That is bogus.
Yeah.
Like you can't punt on something like this. And say, well, you know, of course.
Yeah.
He's a seventh round pick, which is. In a lot of respects, some people would say that a seventh round pick is actually less valuable than an undrafted rookie free agent just by the salary cap machinations and everything. I wholeheartedly reject that. What are the weaknesses that Trapasso says?
Trapasso says that he is. Trapasso says even with a tinier frame, he sheds tackles with decent regularity. Even at this late juncture, this feels early.
You didn't even.
Doesn't have elite speed nor elusiveness either.
Right. I think that what he has to make up for with his speed, and those are all valid concerns, but again, he's a seventh-round pick. The positives, aside from the positives that he just mentioned in saying that the seventh-round pick was the worst draft pick, was that the very things that you worry about with Dameon Pierce, like so as awesome as Dameon Pierce can be in the right system, I think there's a certain part of his anticipation skills and field vision that make him a mismatch for a lot of the outside zone runs. I think Jordan has that really good vision. He can process what the defense is doing and see the field in front of him, and that's how he makes up for some of his physical inadequacies. But yeah, he's got a lot of weaknesses. He's a seventh round pick, so I would disagree with that as the worst pick that they took.
Most interesting pick. Yeah, I don't know who I think, honestly. If I'm trying to give an opinion on the worst pick for the Texans, I'm with you. Like, sixth and seventh rounders are like, they're like throwaways. You know what I mean? Like, I have a hard time. So I can only really focus in on the top four picks. Like, that's where the fourth round is where the fourth and fifth is where things kind of tip the scales for me a little bit. And I guess I had to say worst pick, I would just say I was adamant that they shouldn't be taking offensive tackles in the second round. So I guess by definition, I'd have to say their worst pick is Blake Fisher.
I would say, if I had to do, or if I think, like, for a lot of people, I'm going to guess that people said the worst, like, if I go out and find some people that actually did the exercise justice and tried to figure out which was the worst, I would say Blake Fisher. Not just for fit, but just because I think there's an upside there. He's a little bit undeveloped in a lot of ways, so he's a little bit of a project.
Yeah.
If I had to pick, I would pick Blake Fisher.
Yeah, I would too. He has the most.
I would not call any of the sixth or seventh rounders the worst pick.
No.
It's just not. Those are inherently high risk propositions.
You are. I mean, unless they took somebody who like had a ton of baggage, who you feel is going to like. Okay, why are you even taking this guy?
You know
what I mean? Like, I won't totally eliminate sixth and seventh rounders, but if it that's the only scenario that I would say it's a potentially bad pick.
Yeah, I think like with the Titans with T'Vondre Sweat taking him where they did.
Yeah.
Because I like T'Vondre Sweat for a lot of reasons, and if somebody had taken him in the third round or fourth round. I would have understood taking that chance on him. Taking him in the second round I would say that's a bad pick. That's my, if I had to choose for the Titans.
Yeah, well, and you're simpatico with Chris Trapasso here. Worst pick for the Titans, C-, T'Vondre Sweat.
Yeah.
Monstrous nose tackle, finally demonstrated a glimmer of pass rush, handwork as a senior. Not as good against the run or double teams as his size indicates. Probably a two-down player in the NFL. Doesn't even mention his off-the-field stuff or the fact that he likes being fat.
Yeah, he's adamant about his body weight being just fine.
Yeah.
Don't body shame me.
Yeah.
I think that the funniest thing I saw in defense of the T'Vondre Sweat pick was Mel Kiper, where he talked about how, like, well, you know, people will say, he was good for 1980 or something, which is me. I'm that guy. But to take a guy that high in the second round, like, you generally want a guy who's got the potential of being a three-down player. The problem with big guys these days in the NFL is that every team has, like, three wide receiver packages that where you can keep T'Vondre Sweat off the field. Like, T'Vondre Sweat's going to be a problem for us. We're just going to spread it out, and T'Vondre Sweat, they're going to have to take T'Vondre Sweat off the field. But the funniest thing was Mel Kiper went through this long spiel about how he's fine in the modern NFL, but said his comp was Gilbert Brown.
That makes no sense.
Gilbert Brown, the 365.
Gilbert Brown,
who got, who was one of the reasons that the Packers fell apart in the fourth quarter of their Super Bowl against the Broncos because right. he didn't have the endurance to keep up with that zone running scheme all game long.
Yep, that's exactly right. The Terrell Davis Super Bowl. Trapasso has the most interesting pick. I think the most interesting pick he has is their best pick, which is Cade Stover, the tight end in the fourth round where they got him. And admittedly, I'm being sold to by Nick Caserio and the team and C.J. Stroud and everybody who loves Cade Stover. But boy, in the fourth round especially, this feels like a really good pick. But he's got that pick as a B+, the most interesting pick.
I think most interesting pick.
Interesting, yeah.
I think that there's another one where the general reaction from the draft Knicks seems to be that was a really good value pick. I've seen that in multiple lists of best value pick of the entire draft, not just for the Texans.
Yeah.
So I think that's very much good. I almost feel like with Cade, there was almost that same thing that CJ got, which is, well, you've got all these receivers that you've got to, you know. So with CJ, it was like, well, how good a quarterback can you be? Of course, you're throwing to all these awesome receivers. I wonder if with Stover, there's a little bit of like, well, yeah, but you got things opened up for you because of because you've got all these receivers around.
All those receivers. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, look, it's just highlights. I didn't watch every Ohio State game. I watched a lot of Ohio State this year. But you watch, like, he makes a lot of contested catches. You know, I know you know
no,
this.
No, he comes, yeah, no, he fights for the ball. Like, this is a, you know,
runs guys over.
You know, I have to watch a lot of football with Brandi Payne. And Brandi is, like, one of her, the most things that makes her actually angry to the point where it's annoying to watch a game with her is when receivers or tight ends don't come back for football. Mm. And because a lot of times it's a matter of just, man, come back one, two steps towards the ball instead of sitting there and waiting for it so a guy can come and break up the pass or pluck it. He does a really good job with that. The other part about him, too, is one of the knocks against him was his blocking, which is fair and understandable, except that you got to realize that he's only been playing tight end for two seasons. Mm-hmm. And the thing that was encouraging for me was that when I go back and watch his blocking specifically, there's lots of examples of him when he is blocking well of, like, using perfect form.
Mm-hmm.
And doing, like, you can tell that when it he knows what he's striving for. It just needs to be more consistent, and he needs more experience doing it. You know, he doesn't have the body type that he's going to be Rob Gronkowski or anything. But I told you, like, right a couple days before the draft, I had mentioned something about his blocking being a concern. One of our listeners afterwards DM'd me, and that, like, that day I went and just watched a lot of Stover, and I felt a lot better about it.
Good. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, so the AFC South, Indy, Jacksonville, Tennessee. What moves did they make this weekend that concern us the most as Texan fans? That is next.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.